This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. This message entitled Love Does was delivered on February 10th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Handsome and he can sing, yeah? How do you want to score him, Carly? Oh, really? Ooh, you heard that, Pastor Aaron. Happy anniversary. That was the best decision of her life, right? Ooh, I'm gonna get lickings after church. Ooh, I love picking on people from up here. So much fun. Man, it is so nice to see all of you here this morning, all bundled up. You guys cold? Because I'm not. Anybody get up like 4:30 this morning? You seen the moon going down? It was beautiful. And as I was watching the moon going down, I was thinking like, wow. It reminds me of sometimes when I go fishing and the moon comes up and the moon goes down. It's just so beautiful. And every time I get to see that, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for allowing these eyes to see your beauty and your glory and all these things, man. Yeah, I think about it, it's like, if I didn't get up at 4:30, then I would have missed all that. And those of you who got up after 4:30, well, too bad, you lose. But get up this tomorrow morning. I think the moon's going to be even bigger and brighter. Well, last week, we talked about staying in love, and changing love from a word into an action. And I hope that you got the chance to actually try and practice that this week. Because if you did, then I want you to continue to practice that week after week. And not just saying, I love you, but let it show in your actions. Love. Let it not just be words, but let it do something. Have you ever noticed that love never just sits on the sidelines and watches? True love gets up, takes action. And today we will look at love in action in the Bible and see how we can display true love in our lives. If you have your Bibles, how many of you have bring your Bibles? Because I'm encouraging you to bring your Bibles. And those of you who have it, give yourself a hand. Okay? And if you don't have it, then, hey, there's always next week, right? And if you need one, we have some great, a really great Bible that we sell. We have, I think, I don't know how much, we might have a few left. But it's like for me, when I read that New Living Translation Study Bible, when I read that Bible, man, the light went on because I could finally understand. Because some of the translations, believe me, it just goes right over my head. But now, if you have your Bibles, would you open it up to the book of Romans? Romans chapter 5. Now, some of us think, like, you know, why do I need to make love an action? Because I'm fine right where I'm at. I'm comfortable telling my children and my spouse, I love you. Because we make love in action because God calls us to do. And if we love God, we will listen to him. How many of you have been affected by an action of love? How many of you had been changed by an act of love? And do you believe in passing on those blessings? Meaning, if someone did something nice to you, would you feel like you want to do something like passing it on, nice to someone else? If I let you in traffic, would you let somebody else in traffic? Or would you just keep going and forget about it? When was the last time you displayed love for someone you didn't know? Oh, that's hard, yeah? Because like for me, it's like, wow, when was the last time I displayed love for someone I didn't know? like buying a homeless person a meal or something. Do you constantly think of ways that you can show others love? Or does it come naturally? You know, when you see those guys holding up signs, and does it come naturally, like, or do you like just, you gotta struggle with it? Because sometimes I struggle with it, because it doesn't come naturally, because sometimes I get comfortable, because I look at all of you and you are so easy to love. But God calls us to love not only those easy to love, but those hard to love. What was the craziest thing you did because of love? I know John Kui, he gave up a kidney for his sister. I mean, that is love in action. He could have said, you know, sis, I love you, I will pray for you, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he went beyond that. And he gave a part of himself so that someone else could live. And I thought, like, wow, that is what love does. How many of you are, like, on the bone marrow registry and all those you see? These guys, they do. I think we need to get in action and go register so we can become doers. How many of you give blood? Yeah. I wish I did, but I don't know if I can because of all the medicine I take. Maybe I gotta go. Maybe I should. Love would go and check if I can, and if I can, I would go. Right? So, hey, next time they have a blood drive, give me a call and say, hey, you know what? You better practice what you preach. Yeah. And even if you gotta pick me up and take me, we'll go, because you know what? I really don't mind needles. It's kind of cool when they poke in your arm. But what was the craziest thing you did because of love? Or the most outrageous thing? I think, John, you win. Because, man, I still have my two kidneys, so I think you beat most of us here. And, I mean, I think that's great, because that's what love does. Our example to follow, number one, Jesus did. And you know what? He's still doing. So if you have your Bibles, Romans 5:8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans in the New Testament. Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. This is one that you want to kind of like highlight in your Bible, underline, bend a page, do whatever you like. But it goes like this. But God demonstrates, you know, he shows us his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love. He showed us his love. Because even when we were his enemies, he loved us. While we were yet sinners, these are amazing words. God sent Jesus to die for us, not because we were good enough, because to tell you the truth, none of us are good enough, but because he loves us. And when we kind of feel like uncertain about God's love for us, remember, he loved you even before you turned to him. He loved me when I was rebellious. He loved me when I was going the opposite way he called me. He loved me when I was still sinning in the world. What was the most outrageous thing someone did, other than Jesus, did for you because of love? What was it? For me, it was my wife praying for my salvation for some 8 years. How many of you are praying for a spouse? How many of you give up after 1 hour? Or maybe 10 minutes, right? How many of you, I mean, you think about it. My wife prayed for me for a long time. Maybe because it took so long because I was so bad. And I think that's one of the most outrageous things somebody did for me because of love. Because, I mean, most spouses probably would give up after a week if God didn't do anything, or a month. But you could imagine 8 years. So if you're praying for your spouse, how many of you passed 8 years praying for your spouse? Hey, you go see my wife then, because you beat her. Keep praying and be specific what you want for them. See, love does. And love keeps on. Love never fails. So keep on praying. You know, we have a great example to follow. Jesus. You know, Jesus loved his disciples a lot. He did. He loved his disciples a lot. But he didn't do everything for them. How many of you love your kids so much that you spoil them? And then when they grow up, it's so much harder. He's like, oh, I shouldn't have. Yeah, I still spoil my kids, but they're all grown up already. Jesus didn't do everything for his disciples. There was time when Jesus stood aside because he loved them so much that he made them step out. In Matthew, so you turn back, turn to your right, or turn to your left, not physically, but back in the Bible. Turn to Matthew 14. Matthew. Bible pages are so thin, they get stuck together. Matthew 14, 15 to 18. And it was evening, and the disciples came to Jesus, saying, this place is desolate, and the time has already passed to send multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Now, what was he doing? Jesus was trying to prepare them for his departure. You know, so he didn't do everything for them. I mean, yeah, you can say love does, but sometimes love got to kind of step back. He was trying to equip them for a time when he would leave, because if he did every single thing for them, when he left, they would be like, oh, what do we do now? In fact, that's kind of what happened anyway, yeah? But, I mean, I tried to teach, I think from an early age, in elementary school, I would stand back and I would make my children do their own laundry. And so that when they, you know, grow up, they know how to do laundry. How many of you have older children who don't know how to do laundry? Okay, you guys did well. How many of you have older children who don't know how to cook? Uh-huh, okay, you guys better work on that. I tried to teach them how to cook, but, you know, in the middle of the afternoon or in the evening, I get that text from my children. Dad, how do you make sure you're chicken? Oh, man, come on, you wasn't paying attention. Dad, how do you make meatloaf? Oh, you know, that was because I didn't stand back enough and let them do. See, because love does. And sometimes love enables them, equips them to do. Sometimes love does by allowing our loved ones to do things as we equip them or advise them. You know, sometimes we got to know when to get involved and when to step back like Jesus did. See, Sundays, I ask you to bring your Bibles so we get used to turning the pages to different books. Because If you're someplace one day and you don't have your phone, your phone dies, or you have your Bible, or you go to another church, say God calls you to another church, and your new pastor asks you, open to Haggai. You're like, what? Who is that? You know that's a book in the Bible, right? You know that it's a book in the New Testament, right? It's in the Old Testament. Aha, come on. See, that's why I ask you to bring your Bibles, because I want you to get used to turning the pages. So you'd be so good that you can just flip a page and you'd be right at that book. Why? Because you're so used to turning the pages and finding the book. It's okay to use an app, but I really want you to get used to getting into this, writing on it, marking it up, writing notes on the side, being used to, because in an app, you can just type in the address and bang, you're there, right? How easy, right? Did God call us to an easy, comfortable life? Not really. If you don't know that yet, man, because sometimes following Christ can be very uncomfortable, and it is great. Amen? So, if you're there, then if you have your Bibles, turn to John, and don't turn to John Quee or John Brown or John Kelly Cooley. Turn to the book of John. No, John. John. Oh, yeah, 1 John, sorry. 1 John 3, 18. Okay? 1 John 3. Because number 2 says, what will I do? Here is a challenging question for you. What will I do? 1 John 3, 18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. So the thing is, okay, how much does your action say that you love? In your daily life, the things that you do at your work, at your home, when you go shopping, where you go banking, how much of that shows love? Are you generous with your time, your possessions, your money? What will you do? What can you do? James 2, remember the book of James? James, James is a very good book. It talks about how to live as a Christian. And if you never read the book of James, you know, it's like a really good solid reminder, or even like a punch to wake us up about living a Christian life. James 2, 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? James is talking about action. Because we have Jesus in our heart, we have his love inside of us, and we cannot just speak these words, but we must become doers of his word. Because James calls us to action. He says we cannot just be hearers of the word, but we must become doers. See, we take in the word of God, comes into our mind, goes into our hearts, and comes out through our hand, our actions. We must become doers of God's word. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. See, that word serve is an action word. We got to do something about it. And Paul here writes, and he distinguishes between freedom to sin and freedom to serve. Freedom or license to sin is not really freedom, because we become slaves to sin and to Satan and our sinful nature. Christians, you and I, by contrast, should not be slaves to sin, but we should use our freedom in Christ to do right, to glorify God through loving service of each other. And if you look around on Sundays, you see people serving by greeting. You see people serving by watching and teaching your children. You see people serving by serving food, singing on the worship team, cleaning up. You know, and that's how we actually show love in action, by serving. And so number three, what can I do? 1 Timothy, but if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? So what can I do? Here's the thing. Start at home. That's a great place to start, right? With your spouse. How many of you talk harshest to your spouse? Yeah, like when our spouse keeps asking us the same questions, and we turn around like, man, you asked me that like 5 times already. Cut it out. But if I asked you that 5 times, you say, oh, don't worry, I got it. You'd be so nice to me and so gracious to me. But our loved ones, oh, they call you up in the middle of your work. What do you want now? How many guilty? I get, we're so used to them, so we're so used to talking like that. And I need to just change my attitude. Man, I got to say, hi, honey. Oh, it's so nice to hear your voice. Even if I'm counseling somebody right now, or in the middle of my study, or I'm halfway between bites at my lunch, it's so nice to hear your voice. I mean, that's what it should be like, right? Not like, what? No, busy now. Coming back in 20 minutes. Oh. Start at home. Show your family how much you love them. Ask them, what action can I take to let you know that I love you, to show you? And when you get that home thing down with your spouse, with your children, then you can go to your neighbors, then you can go to your workplace. Oh, that's hard, yeah, showing love at the workplace. And then expand to the grocery store, to the bank. Expand right here. Serve the person sitting next to you, in the back of you. That's where you start. Because if you cannot start it at home, how can you do it elsewhere? Like Timothy said, if a man does not know how to manage his household, how will he take care of the church? All of our leaders, we tell them it starts at home. And for me, I need to start at home. I need to start doing a better job at home. Start loving my wife a better way. Start talking nicer to her. And even if I do talk nice, I can always use improvement. I tell you what, I'm not there yet. I am learning and growing every day. Every sermon I write, God, like, got it, that's for you. Got it, that's for you. Yeah. He's working on me on speaking about the Sabbath, but I still haven't got that one yet. James 1:22. But prove yourself doers of the word. Prove yourself doers of the word. How do you prove? By doing it. Prove yourself doers of the word. And not merely hearers who delude themselves. Do it. Let love be an action, not just a word. See, I get to just keep pounding this into you because God is love, and I want you to be like God, and I want you to become doers of his word. And the last one, number four, how do I show God that I love him? Oh, that's a tough one, yeah? John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Someone asked me this very interesting question. If God loves me, how do I love him back? You ever thought about that? You know, God loves me so much. Sometimes we think the stuff that we can do might be so insignificant because of what he did for me. I mean, if God loves me, how can I show him I love him back? Well, God's love to us, for us, requires us to take action. And John 3:16 is probably the most compact description of God's love that is found in his word. And it says, for God so loved the world, for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest act of God's love is giving us the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to live and die as a substitute for us sinners so that those who trust in him could be given the gift of eternal life. When someone loves you and they go to great lengths to give you a special gift, what do? We show our love to them by treasuring that gift. First, we receive it, we appreciate it, we make use of it, we value it, and we are grateful for it. We delight in that gift. My wife, you know what she likes? She likes to buy these nice, expensive shirts for me. Seriously, these shirts are like crazy expensive. And I love these shirts because they're nice. Makes me look kind of good. Yeah. Kind of getting conceited, but shoots. I need to take dance lessons so I become more attractive. But, you know, I take delight in it. And when she asks me what I want to wear, of course I want to wear one of the shirts that she buys me. Right? I take delight in it. I treasure it. I wear it. And I enjoy it. And the same way, we love God back by treasuring the gift that he has given us. Life abundantly. Do you treasure that gift of abundant life that Jesus gave us? We need to determine to delight in Jesus more than anything or anyone else. We receive him. That means we take Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We ask him to forgive our sins, take charge of our lives. We enter into this relationship with him. Jesus said in John 14:23 that if anyone loves him, he'll actually come and live in them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Next, we seek to grow in appreciation of it. How many of you appreciate Jesus? I mean, really, truly. You know, there was a moment this week. I was sitting down at my desk. The Bible was open. I had my cup of hot tea. And I was like, it was like heaven, man. I was like, man, this is so good. I have my hot cup of tea and the Word of God. And I was by myself. And I thought, like, wow, this is just like the best feeling ever. Just to be in that moment alone with God, drinking my hot tea, reading his Word, soaking it all in. I was like, wow. I love that. I just was taking so much delight. Had worship music going in the background. You ever get that heart? Your heart feels soft. The kind of loving. You know when you're first in love and your heart feels all mushy, and you get that tear in your eye. Oh, I love when I get that feeling when I'm spending time with God. Oh, it's like, Man, I wish it was like that every single day, but I tell you what, it's not. But when those moments happen, oh, it is like, wow. You feel it. You love it. You delight. I'm loving God back. We grow in appreciating Him. This means we recognize how much we need Him and how perfectly He suits our need. Because without Jesus, we'd just be lost. We cannot keep His commandments perfectly as He requires because we're sinful. We get to delight in Him, trust Him, depend on Him for strength, for all these things. Jesus promised a helper whenever we ask Him for it. And we need to, constantly, I need to ask Him for help. Help in every part of my life. Help in being a pastor. Help in being a husband, a dad, a friend. I need so much help. Treasuring Jesus means that we put all of our hopes and trust in Him for our happiness, for everything else. You know, when I was sitting next to James watching the Super Bowl, getting ragged on by this Patriots fan all day, all afternoon, I was still happy. Because my happiness didn't depend on the Rams, thank God. My happiness depended on my relationship with God. So the next day, everybody comes to me, oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry, what? Like somebody died? No, I'm so sorry for your Rams. It's okay. I'm still happy because I have a God. And that's what my joy is. That's what my happiness comes from. Even if somebody sitting next to me throwing cracks at me all afternoon because we only scored 3 points. That's all right. But you know what? It was a really humbling experience, you know. Whew. See, we need to let Jesus take a hold of our heart and let our love for Him grow by leaps and by bounds every single day. And as we grow closer to Him, we can learn how He tells us, right? Love others like how He loves us. And that is not easy to do because He loves us so much. It's hard to love others that way, but we can only try with His power. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. So as we go out, remember a few things, that you are the church and that God called you to love others. So as you go about your daily routine, just think about how can you show love to others. And you know what? Start in your house. Start in your own home. Maybe for me, I can pick up my clothes more often instead of leaving it on the ground or, you know, doing stuff like that. But go out and be doers. And go and do love, because God asked us to. Amen? I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, because Jesus loves you, and He wants you to ask Him into your life. So I'm going to pray this prayer with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And if you would like to receive Jesus, His love, pray this prayer with me now with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to You. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person You want me to be. I receive You, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody out there? God bless you over there. May you put your hands down. Lord, You have seen the hands. Mm-hmm. And they receive Your love. They receive You. Lord, I pray that from the inside out that you would change them and make them more like you. Help them to love you and to love others like you have commanded us. Thank you so much that even when we were sinners in rebellion against you, that you still love us. Even to those of our family members who still are out there not wanting to repent, you still love them. Help us to love them too, Lord, like you do. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, so don't forget, next week, Sunday, we're not doing food over here, right? So right after service, we're going to book it down to Coconut Island. We're going to have a potluck, a picnic, and we're going to have baptism, water baptism. So those of you who are wanting to get baptized, come down. Those of you who have been baptized, come down and celebrate and rejoice with those who will make that choice to get baptized. Amen? Amen. Could we stand and sing? And somebody after service, restrain Carlin because she might lick me for my comments.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.